come to the front with some hats, and we've had people do some confessions. I just want to start off just with a little game to involve everyone. It's a game called Would You Rather. Okay, you might know the game Would You Rather. Basically, I say two different things, and you decide which one of those two things you would rather do. Okay, and then I basically figure out something out about you for your answer. So the first thing, okay, you've got a choice of A and B. Would you rather give up washing your hair for 2 months or give up brushing your teeth for 2 weeks? Hands up for the first one. Hair for 2 months. Hands up for the second one. Teeth for 2 weeks. You. Everyone judged. Okay. Next one. Would you rather never eat your favourite food again or only eat your favourite food for the rest of your life? Hands up for the first one, never eat your favourite food again. Hands up for the second one, only eat your favourite food for the rest of your life. Okay. Would you rather have a cold shower or have 2 hours less in bed? Hands up for a cold shower. Hands up for 2 hours less in bed. Okay. Would you rather only be able to whisper or only be able to shout? Hands up for only be able to whisper. Hands up for only be able to shout. Okay. And last one. Would you rather be forced to wear a swimsuit in Antarctica or a snowsuit in the desert? Hands up for swimsuit in Antarctica. Hands up for snowsuit in the desert. Okay, lovely. Now that game, as I said, is about making us choose between two basically bad options. And what we choose tells people something about us, about our character. And that is a bit like the situation that Jesus is put in today's Bible story. I'm going to read from John 8, chapter 1 onwards. Everyone went home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early the next morning, he went back to the temple. All the people gathered round him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman who had been caught committing adultery, and they made her stand before them all. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. In our law, Moses commanded that such a woman must be stoned to death. Now, what do you say? They said this to trap Jesus so that they could accuse him. But he bent over and wrote on the ground with his finger. As they stood there asking him questions, he straightened himself up and said to them, whichever one of you has committed no sin may throw the first stone at her. Then he bent over again and wrote on the ground. When they heard this, they all left one by one, the older ones first, and Jesus was left alone with the woman still standing there. He straightened himself up and said to her, where are they? Is there no one left to condemn you? No one, sir, she answered. Well then, said Jesus, neither do I condemn you. Now go and leave your life of sin. Sin no longer. Now that scene starts pretty similar to a lot of things, you know, a lot of days of Jesus teaching in the Bible. Here there's a big crowd of people and he's teaching. And it all starts very normal. But all of a sudden, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law drag this woman in front of everyone. And they say, this woman has been caught in adultery. And they say that the law says that she has to be punished by stoning. Now, stoning is throwing stones at her until she dies. It's a really brutal form of death. And they say, that's what the law is, Jesus. Now, what do you think we should do? And the Bible tells us that the Pharisees had said that to trap Jesus. Because actually, the Pharisees were not that concerned with the Jewish law being followed. If you think about it, if they were that concerned with following the law, why bother bringing the woman to Jesus in the first place? Why not just take her and do the punishment themselves? Why go to that effort unless they were trying to trap Jesus? But what they were trying to do is they were trying to force Jesus into kind of a game of you would rather with this woman caught in the middle. They're saying, what would you rather, Jesus? Obey the Jewish law, but condemn this woman to a death in front of the crowd? Or would you rather show mercy to this woman, but publicly admit to everyone here that you're breaking the Jewish law? And they've created what seems to be a no-win situation for Jesus. What they didn't realise is that the problem of balancing mercy and justice was not a new one for God's Son. And as we look together at Jesus' response, at how he deals with the Pharisees and the woman, we get a really helpful picture of the way that God relates to us, his people, today. So Jesus responds at first simply by writing in the sand. We don't know what he wrote, but they keep on asking, and when the Pharisees keep on asking, he says to them, whoever is without sin, be the one to throw the first stone at her. And when they say that, when Jesus says this, he's turning the challenge back on the Pharisees. He's changing the question from, is she sinful, to, are you sinful? The Pharisees had brought this woman to Jesus as an example of sin, as an example of the worst kind of sin, of doing the wrong things, because they thought that their sin was not as bad as hers. And Claire has talked about the way that we sometimes grade wrongdoing. But actually, Jesus shows the Pharisees that all sins matter. Claire got us to try on some hats earlier. Hands up if you got to wear a hat. Some of you looked happier about the hat than others. And we said that all hats are different, but they all basically do the same thing. They all basically cover your head. And it's a bit like that with our sins, with the things that we do wrong. All sins are different, but they basically do the same thing, which is separate us from God. Now, you're probably thinking, like, yeah, but all sins are not the same, are they? How can something like murder be as bad as, like, cheating in a test? And, of course, in a way, we're right, because outwardly, all sins are not the same at all. If I cheat in a test, that will have a very different consequence to if I commit murder. And that's why those two things will carry very different punishments. But inwardly, they both have the same effect, because they both separate us from God. And in that sense, there are no big or small sins. The Bible doesn't actually tell us what Jesus wrote into the sand to the disciples. Some people think it might have been a list of different types of sins to challenge the Pharisees. Some people think maybe it was parts of scripture from the Old Testament, like other parts of the law that would challenge them, or even the bit of the law that referred to the woman's sin, to what she'd done. Whatever it was, it made the Pharisees start thinking about some of the things that they might have done wrong. Jesus doesn't defend the woman's behaviour. Instead, he tells the Pharisees to begin with their own sin. And I think that God calls us today to take a similar attitude. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that we ignore or condone the bad things we see in the world around us. Of course, it's right that we despise things like injustice and cruelty. But if we really want to follow God, we need to begin with ourselves, with our own sins and flaws and weaknesses. As I read through the passage this week, I started wondering, what would Jesus write in the sand to me? Are there areas of my life, or my thoughts, or my actions, which Jesus wants to challenge me in? I'd like us just to take a moment together in silence now to think about that to ourselves. What would Jesus write to me? Are there areas of our life, maybe, where we get so caught up in what other people are doing wrong that we forget about ourselves? If we want God's kingdom to come and his will to be done, we need to begin with ourselves. And one by one, the Pharisees realise that none of them has the right to cast that first stone. And one by one, they leave until the woman's left with just Jesus, the only one there who really is without sin. And what Jesus does next, the way he deals with the woman, gives us a really fantastic picture of God's mercy to his people. "Where are your accusers?" says Jesus. "Has no one condemned you?" "No," says the woman, "no one." "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus offers the woman mercy, even though she's broken one of the Ten Commandments, even though she's been caught red-handed, even though she doesn't deserve it. And we can only begin to imagine the woman's sense of relief as that death sentence is lifted. And we can take encouragement from this today because we know that there's nothing so bad that is beyond God's mercy. There's no situation that we can be in today that is beyond hope. However, in almost the same breath, Jesus adds, "Now go and sin no longer." Jesus offers the woman mercy, but he also gives her a challenge. It's really important that we recognise that at no point does Jesus condone the woman's sin. He doesn't tell her that it's okay what she's done. Instead, he urges her to sin no longer, to change her ways, and to lead a better life. And it's the same for us today. God's mercy and his forgiveness are open to each one of us, but they come with a challenge to become better than we are. It's really important that we understand what Jesus is and isn't saying to the woman here. Okay, and to show you what I mean, I want to ask you some advice. I'm going to tell you about a problem that I've had. Okay, I want you to think about some things that I could do. And if you think of something that I could do, put up your hand. So the problem is, okay, I've got a phone. Who's got a phone? Okay, most of you one day may have phones. Okay. So I had a friend, they needed to borrow my phone. And I said, I lent it to them. And then they made really long phone calls, and they used up all my credit, and they cost me a load of money. Okay? Because you have to pay for phone calls. That's the thing you learn as you get older. You have to pay for phone calls. So anyway, then they asked me again, another time, "Can I borrow your phone?" So what should I do? Who's got some suggestions? What should I do? Can anyone tell me some things? Go on, Ayan. I could say no. I could just say no, because last time they used up my money. What else could I do? Yeah, I could check with them, first of all, what are they going to do with my phone? Is there anything else I could do? They've already cost me a load of money.
Remove the SIM card and give me a phone.
I could, yeah, just trick them and give them the empty phone. That's kind of the same as not giving them the phone. Go on. That's a really good idea. Yeah, I could get them to pay. I could say, well, you could have my phone as long as you promise to pay me back the money. Okay, so basically, what I can do is I can either not give them the phone. As far as we can either not give them the phone, so basically show them no mercy, or I could give them the phone but place some kind of condition on it. Okay, either, oh, you can only have it for a few minutes, or maybe you can have it if you make sure that you pay me back. Okay? That's not what Jesus does to the woman. Because when Jesus challenges the woman to change her ways, he doesn't make it a condition of being let off. Okay, we've got to look at the order of what he says. He says, "I will not condemn you. Now go and sin no longer." He doesn't say, "I will not condemn you as long as you promise not to do it again." And he doesn't say, "I will not condemn you as long as you prove to me that you're really sorry." And I don't think he followed the woman home to make sure that she was behaving and to check up on her. Jesus offers the woman mercy with a challenge, but not with conditions. And that is so different than the way that we often deal with each other. Why don't I want to lend my phone to somebody who's already used it up once? Why don't I want to do that? Someone small, tell me. Because I don't want to lose money. Okay, I don't want to lose out. I don't want to get hurt. I think sometimes we forget that our sins hurt God. And yet, he forgives us again and again and again. I wonder what became of the woman. Did she become even more brazen and sinful? Did she say to herself, well, I got away with this once, so I can obviously do it again? Or did that encounter with Jesus change her forever? The Bible doesn't tell us what that woman did, but the same choice is open to each one of us each day. Because just like the woman, all of us have done things which separate us from God. And to each of us, God offers his mercy and his forgiveness, even though we don't deserve it, and without conditions. And just like the woman, we have a choice about what to do with God's mercy. Do we take it and run, carry on doing what we've always done, or do we let it transform us? And for the woman in the story, the stark reality of her situation was obvious. Jesus had rescued her from death. I think for us today, it can be easy to forget that reality. That all have sinned and fallen short. That the price of sin is death. And yet, we are not condemned. Because Christ paid that price and took that death for us. So that today, he can say to each one of us, I will not condemn you. Now go and sin no longer.